Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, baby, it is a wrap. Oh, baby, I don't even have an Emmy. It is a wrap. As the Niners lose 35-10, it wasn't even that close as they get smoked in the snow against the Buffalo Bills. And we got some sad news. Christian McCaffrey, PCL injury. We'll get an official prognosis on that injury and see if he's going to be out for the season or not.
You know it's bad when you're like, hey, at least it's not an Achilles.
We don't know if it's an Achilles. We don't know. It looked like an Achilles from the angle. With the calf just exploding, that looked like an Achilles. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? It is Lion season.
So good. He looks so good.
Look great.
I literally texted the thread, oh, my God, the old McCaffrey's back.
No, I was like, wow, this guy is turning back the clock. He looked great in the snow. And I thought he was going to keep the Niners in the game. And then he gets hurt. And Fred Warner's out there. Shout out to Fred Warner. Shot him out. Fractured ankle since week 4. And why did he... divulge that information? I don't know, but he's been playing with a fractured ankle since week 4.
I'm glad he did, because you know why? It gives context to why he hasn't made a play in weeks. And I told you I thought the ankle was bad. Fractured ankle? Come on, man.
No, he looks great. And I also thought it was maybe a message at guys who aren't playing.
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
I'm out here with a fractured ankle. You know, Trent has an ankle sprain. Obviously, he takes over it all. And I'm not going to question the toughness of Trent Williams, but... he doesn't make the trip. Nick Bosa doesn't make the trip. I know he didn't make, I don't know if Nick Bosa was there yesterday, but I know he didn't make the trip in Green Bay. And I'm watching Fred Warner play with a fractured ankle at middle linebacker. And I'm watching Christian McCaffrey try to come back and help this football team despite being diagnosed with bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Those two guys are gladiators. Gladiators. Juwan Jennings, tough as hell. He fought his ass off yesterday. I thought Juszczyk fought, but he fumbles inside the red zone, which is kind of a microcosm of his season. And then you get to Deebo Samuel, who did what he did to Tabor Pepper, caught back at T.O. because T.O. came on this show, and we didn't even ask about Deebo Samuel. You asked about Juwan Jennings, and he said, well, Deebo's worried about more about his pregame outfits. And he quit to go to the Twitter fingers, and he's put together, after that Tampa Bay game, 3 forgettable weeks. Just forgettable weeks for Deebo Samuel. And this is how it's ended for Deebo. 1 year, number one. That's all he's going to have in the Niner uniform. 1 year, number one. That's it. It's done. And it's kind of a microcosm. Then we get to the quarterback, and you look at the quarterbacks, and the owner comes out and says, hey, we're going to reset the market with Brock Purdy. Well, you look at Josh Allen, and you look at Brock Purdy, and you tell me who you rather have, and who would you rather reset the market with? Josh Allen's making 40-plus. He's going to get jump up to $63 million. He's worth every penny for that team.
Every
penny. Organization. You willing to do that with Brock? You still willing to reset the market with Brock Purdy? We better be careful.
Well, and like everyone, well, they didn't lose because of Brock. And da, 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 da. It's like, dude, he had a Brandon Allen game. Like, just call it what it is. He threw for 94 yards. And all of it on screen passes. You were down 25 for the majority of the second half, right?
Yep.
And people can make excuses. Well, they fumbled here and they didn't do this. And they did. Dog, they did not move the ball at all. Did you have any confidence? I'm just asking any Niner fan. Close your eyes. Watching the game back. Did you have any confidence when he dropped back? I didn't. And I have been more confident in Brock leading up to this year than ever before. And I can't believe I'm here. The guy I see looks like a shell of himself.
the heating pad before the game on the elbow. That was the heating pad they were using before the Pittsburgh game last year when he was coming off the Tommy John. Same thing. So what's going on with the shoulder? What's going on with the elbow? He didn't throw much Friday. So, you know, Brock Purdy's probably going to be back. I have no idea. But the fact is, can anybody explain? I don't want to hear that you have no receivers to throw a deep to. Well, Jacob Cowing's on the team. He's got speed.
Ricky Pearsall's on the
team. First round pick, yeah. Ricky Pearsall's on the team. I mean, you can't throw one deep route?
Okay, last I checked, this is who suited up for the Niners. Kittle, Jennings, Debo, McCaffrey, and I know he got hurt, and Ricky Pearsall. Let me read the names for the Bills on the wide receivers. Mac Hollins. Yeah, that Mac Hollins. Shakir. Yeah, no one knows who that is. Some guy named Q Morris, a tight end. And then the other guy, Knox. They didn't even have their best tight end.
No.
So I don't want to hear that you need to have weapons because the other guy didn't need any weapons.
Well, and George Kittle only got two targets yesterday. Can anybody explain that one? Is that on a coach, the quarterback?
All of it.
I mean, two targets for George Kittle? Please. In a snow game. Two targets for George Kittle.
Where I would need someone like him to catch a couple over the middle.
That's another guy who has left everything on the football
field. No doubt.
He's a guy I ride with. He's been a leader. Let's go to the Lions, man. 888-957-9570. A frustrating morning and a realization that this 49ers team is not getting back to the mountaintop. They're so much farther away from that Super Bowl than we all want to admit. And I want to revisit what we said in Las Vegas because I didn't remember what I said after Las Vegas. I was so crushed after that game. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. It may be our best shot in years. Jay in Oakland, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, before the break, one of your callers said that they're flying their Niner flag upside down. Well, if that's the case, man, I'm flying my flag half-mast because this season is dead, bro. give me a second to talk to Jay York and John Lynch, man, because I know they're listening, man, and you can't blame them. This is the best show on the air, so I don't blame you.
Jay
York, John Lynch, I know you guys are listening, bro. I know y'all like to throw money around like you in a strip club, but I beg you not to re-sign Brock Purdy this offseason. I'm begging you, bro. I'm dead begging you. And I like an owner who likes to open up the checkbook and pay his players, but it has to be for the right amount, and it has to be for the right player. And to be honest with you, you look back in the last year or two, what contract they're giving out actually looks like a smart business decision. If you look back at it.
I'm giving you silence because I'm trying to think. Hey, real quick, I want you to stay on the line, Jay. I want you to finish his deal. I want you to finish this call. But the Kittle deal, you're right, Chaskey.
4 years ago, though.
Kittle deal was good. The Fred Warner deal's been good. But the Deebo Samuel deal, the Nick Bosa deal so far, the Trent Williams deal, the Brandon Ayuk deal so far, hasn't been pretty. Hasn't been pretty, Jay.
Right, right. And I meant more so for the last year and a half.
Yeah,
right?
Last year and a half.
Okay. Other years have been
right.
Exactly. And like I said, I like owners that open up the checkbooks, but I'm begging you guys, so I know they're listening. Do not re-sign Brock. Let him play off this last year, man. And I'm not going to say I'm a Brock hater, but I haven't really seen all of the hoopla that everybody else has been on. And I called a year ago and was like, look, man, Brock's play is about to jump off or fall off a cliff. And I looked at it more as like a Lynn Sanity moment when Jeremy Lamb was playing for the New York Knicks. He got hot and he just fell off the cliff. But my last point is, and I know that's a cross-sport analogy, but my last point is Brock is a good quarterback, but he's more on a tier of like a Derek Carr and a Kirk Cousins. And you saw how both of those quarterbacks has been finagling franchises for money for years. So don't fall into the don't make Brock Kirk Cousins 2.0 and let him take us to the bank. All
let
right,
me
fellas.
Take you a step further. Please, dear God, Kyle, do not trade for Kirk Cousins.
Well, Kirk Cousins will
you like
be available.
You like that?
He threw four picks yesterday. May have thrown the Falcon season away with those four picks. And you don't think they're down in Atlanta saying, because I don't know what I was listening to over Thanksgiving break. Some radio show at the station. It was just random national. And they were saying the buzz in athletic practice.
Was it Jody Mack?
No, I don't remember who it was. I was just Baby Chaz in the car. And all I did for a second, I was at a red light and I zoned out listening as Baby Chaz was watching cartoons on my phone. And a guy goes, well, everybody we know that covers the Falcons say, Penix in practice throws such a much better ball than Kirk Cousins, not even funny. And they said, it's just a matter of time before Penix Jr. plays. So once that happened, we know the writing's on the wall for Kirk Cousins. Which is the worst thing that could happen for San Francisco 49er fans, because it's going to be another offseason saying, do not sign Kirk Cousins. Do not trade for him. Please, Kyle, no. Because guess what? That will be back on the table once again. And you don't think some Niner fans are going to say, just re-sign Sam Darnold.
Ugh. Maybe well, the Vikings. Darnold has played really well.
He has.
I can't deny him.
And there's a reason why the play-by-play announcer was saying, well, Darnold, man, they didn't give him a shot. He should have been a starter. We think he could be the starter. They're going to play Penix Jr. soon in Atlanta. You better believe that. You better believe that. I want to play this back and forth with George Kittle on the lack of targets.
Okay.
Because it is criminal. You have George Kittle, the best tight end in franchise history. Shasky get two targets yesterday. Are you kidding me? Two targets for George Kittle?
I just don't know how you walk out of that game and he doesn't get the looks.
Two targets. Two freaking targets.
Like how? What did they think they were going to do against Buffalo? Just not throw all game?
Go at DeMar Hamlin. There's George Kittle.
I don't get it.
There's George Kittle on the back and forth. He has a nice little back and forth on the lack of targets.
You've got a pass on the first play.
I did.
And then catch another pass.
I did not.
An explanation on why you did not?
No, I do not have an explanation. I think I ran like six more routes the rest of the day. Could be a combination of that, but no idea. Oh, goodness gracious, no. No, I didn't feel that. I felt pretty open multiple times. Is what it is.
That's as critical as I've ever heard George Kittle be about a game plan, a game result, target share. That's an indictment on Shanahan, and that's an indictment on Brock Purdy. I know the sound was a little fuzzy there. It was a little fuzzy as Carter comes in with a Starbucks order. Hi, Carter. How you doing?
You're the largest barista of all time.
So wait a minute. Are you getting an espresso, Shasky?
Yeah.
Why do you need an espresso? You're already charged up.
I am slippery.
Everybody else asks, Thursday's giving break. They always ask me, man, how's Shasky doing? I don't know. I don't know. Leave me alone.
He's out of his mind.
I'm trying to get away from Shasky for 3 days. Right? No, seriously. They're like, how many cups of coffee? This is the first question. How many cups of coffee does he have?
One.
Before the show, I tell him three.
What? It's not true.
Well, you're getting an espresso at 8 o'clock.
Well, because I had the coffee place that I normally go to wasn't open. Normally, I have one cup of coffee.
I drink three.
A bunch of water. This is what I do. I drink a bunch of water. I go hit the weights, right? You know, got to get a little pump on. I'm a little ticked off at the club right now because the hot tub jacuzzi jets aren't
the bubbles. They're not
They're not hitting. They lessen the power. Carter and I were talking about this. Anyway, long story short, and then I sort of
why do they lessen the power? Somebody complained about it?
I don't know, but I'm about to complain back.
Yeah,
and
you should. I will.
Straight 3-1-1 on them.
I haven't been to the hot tub in 3 months. I'm about to complain about that.
Well,
get the Jets right.
You feel me? Get the Jets right.
And
we're not talking about the New York Jets, Rex Ryan. But, and then, yeah, I went to go get my normal coffee and the place was closed.
You know, George Kittle.
I've never heard him.
I know this sounds a little fuzzy. I had to play it one more time.
This is what happens when you lose.
I have not heard George Kittle.
He has no problem blocking when they're running and they're winning and they're slamming people down. He's like, do it again. The second they go through 2 20-point consecutive week losses, yeah, this is what happens.
You've got a pass on the first play.
I did.
And then catch another pass.
I did not.
Explanation on why you did not.
No, I do not have an explanation. I think I ran like six more routes the rest of the day. Could be a combination of that, but no idea. Oh, goodness gracious, no. No, I didn't feel that. I felt pretty open multiple times. It is what it is.
George Kittle ran six routes?
Six routes the rest of the game.
Seven routes?
After the first play, after he got catch the pass on the first play, and he ran six more routes the rest of the day. Six more routes.
He can't be hyperbolic. He means he's probably pretty literal when he like.
Oh, he goes, I did not. I ran six more routes, a combination of six more routes. And I felt pretty open all game during those routes. And if you're Brock Purdy, how are you not starting with? Like, here's the thing with Patrick Mahomes and you watch him on Amazon. Mahomes starts looking at number 87. It's 87 and then. Where's Kelce?
He doesn't even run routes. He just gets open.
Yeah, he just freelances, plays street football. How are you Brock Purdy in the snow game? Or Kyle Shanahan, Because I'm linking them both together here. And you have number 85 who gets more separation than Debo ever has. And you give him two targets and he runs six more routes the rest of the game. And how many pass attempts Brock Purdy had? 18 pass attempts.
At least 12 of them were screens, right?
It felt like it. You give George Kittle two targets and you have him run six routes the rest of the day? I get it. Your offensive line is suspect. You don't have Trent Williams, so you can make the argument that you need on the pass block. But damn it, I'm paying him too much money. The pass block. I'm tired of him pass blocking. I need him to go out there and make plays. He breaks tackles. He's a tone setter. He's got speed. Run, yak. You need yak. You don't get yak anymore. We're not talking about Hennessy. We're talking about yards after the catch. That right there. I told myself this morning I wasn't going to get hyped up about this game, and I kept my emotions down. But damn it, when I hear my leader in George Kittle, the best franchise tight end, the best tight end this franchise has ever had, and he's talking about, yeah, I ran six more routes the rest of the day. What? That is coaching. That gets coaches fired.
Well,
that gets coaches fired. And I'm not saying it's fired Shanahan, but you continue to mess around like this, and that heats up the seat a lot quicker than you think.
Well, this is how you lose a locker room.
Oh, my God.
Especially a leader like him who's been in your back pocket since day one. Has he not?
He came on this show and said, we ride for Shanahan.
Yeah, this is what happens when teams lose, man. You start circling the drains. I was questioning whether we were going to see Dobbs in that game earlier.
May not have hurt if we're going to get George Kittle two targets.
I mean, at least run around a little. In the 3 or 4 minute mark in the third quarter, I literally tweeted out all caps, why the hell are we not in shotgun, no huddle formations? What are we doing?
The only time I've ever heard Kittle sound like that, and obviously all the players are sad after, it was after the Super Bowl loss.
Oh,
when
good call.
When he was like, he had what, one catch in that game?
Oh my God,
he's like
three targets in
the Super Bowl. He was pretty salty, but again, it's a Super Bowl loss. Everyone's mad. But he was basically saying, yeah, I felt like I could have done more. I could have been target. But that was his way of saying, you guys should throw the ball to me.
And then you watch the Netflix doc and you find out that this guy literally couldn't lift his arm and he ran into the locker room, got some sort of an injection. At least that's the implied, you know, because it's behind closed doors. And then comes running back. It's like, I'm good. Get me out on the field. And literally, like, they just ripped, I don't know whoever it was, Ross Dwelly.
Yeah,
like, get out of here. I'm coming in, dude.
Oh, Braden Willis, somebody. He was like, get off the field.
As he should.
What do you have? Four targets in the Super Bowl? We discussed that, and it goes back to this. Last night, for me, it wasn't about losing to Buffalo, because I thought they would lose to Buffalo at full strength. It's the way you lost, but it's a microcosm of the season, and that it's not a Super Bowl hangover per se, but it's like revisiting that night in Las Vegas. You said something. I didn't even remember it, because what I remember walking out of Super Bowl was two things. Well, three things. One, I almost kicked that kid's ass on the strip. Kept talking crazy to me. I was like, I'm going to kick your ass. And Shasky grabbed me. He said, you're on television, bro. You got a career. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to kick this guy's ass.
On his next
I said,
deal.
This guy's testing me. And I told him to leave me alone. I'm in a bad place right now. So I remember that. I remember hugging a young lady with braces. She was like 12 years old, sobbing, sobbing out of her mind. And I felt the pain. I hugged her. I was like, I was giving her therapy. It's like, it's going to be okay. We're going to be back. But also the first thing walking out of that stadium was Shasky saying, B, there's a difference between good and great. Mahomes is great. And when he needed to be great, he was great and he won that game. Pretty was good, but not good enough. And that's the difference. And that's not staying in that stadium, watching them celebrating snow angels and confetti. That stuck to me forever. And I'll never forget that.
There is a difference.
I didn't remember myself telling you that I feel like that's the end and I feel like that we're not going to get back to this point. We're not here. I tried to trick myself.
I know, we all did.
I tried to trick myself.
Well, since the overtime and deciding not to take the ball, deciding not to kick the ball off and take the ball first, what has gone right?
Not much.
I mean, you could have pointed to Jordan Mason at some point, but you literally put him in the icebox for weeks on end. Now, to be fair, he did hurt his shoulder, and for a couple-week period, he did look a little hesitant, and Garendo was better. But the second CMC came back, Kyle went right back to, he's the bell cow, no one else can get touches.
You don't even play Garendo. You see Garendo in space yesterday. He's got speed.
How many touches for Garendo total yesterday?
He got one catch for a negative 3 yards.
A screen.
And four carries for 19.
Five
touchdowns.
Wow.
And a touchdown.
Okay. That's what we're doing.
But I'm okay with that if you give Mason 13 carries.
They all came after CMC got hurt.
I know.
Kyle, we want to get to 40 rushes or whatever the hell this magic number is. Yeah, it doesn't mean just batter ram CMC into the line.
Boy, George Kittle's never been that critical. Wow. Let's go to, who's who on this? All right, I know who you're going
to
want
to
go with.
Well, I want to make sure if you're going to go to him, let him lay it all out. I want to have time to react.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
Tease him for the other side.
All right, you want him on the other side?
Yeah, because I
want
to react to what he says, because he makes good points.
All right, so
very salient.
What about David Frisno?
Let's go, Dave.
David Frisno, let's go.
Man, hey. I just think this team just looks lost, man. It just looks like, you know, the coaches look like Shanahan looks lost just on the sideline all year. Just seems like doesn't seem like no joy, like he wants to be there. And the game yesterday specifically, I thought it was over after that first drive. We literally ran right down the field, right down their throats with CMC and Mason. And this is the microcosm of this year where Shanahan goes away from what was working and started passing. And we had to kick a field goal. Like, I thought, I know we had injuries, but I thought the key to this team's success, especially for this year with the circumstances, was the three-headed bell cow, just run the ball. Like, we have no identity. What is the identity of this team? If they just look lost with no answers, and I just feel like everybody just looking at for somebody, like a leader, to step up. Like, what are we doing?
This
like,
is the identity of the team. Dave, I'll let you finish. The identity of the team is this. Undisciplined, unwilling to tackle, not hungry as they used to be, overpaid, top heavy, injured, turnover prone, mistake waiting to happen, special teams disaster team. That's the identity.
Shelling themselves. They're shelling themselves.
Yeah, and I agree. Real quick, guys, and I listen to this. How many scapegoats is Shanahan going to have? Mm. First it was Jimmy, then it was Steve Wilks. Then it was Trey Lance. Now it's probably going to be Sorensen. It's probably going to be Brock Purdy. At some point, it might be Lynch. I mean, at some point in time, my guy, like,
well, it's time we'll catch up to him, Dave. And hey, we got to run here because of the break. Good call, Dave. We'll get to something. we got 24 seconds. I'm going to play this. No, we got a break right now. Right now? All right.
On the other side, we got a caller in BPA.
We got Jim and Fremont I want to get to because he has something. We got Matt in the corner pocket who always sits in the corner down in the Warriors game. I want to get to Matt. I want to get to Rob in Dublin. Rob is a good caller as well. 888-957-9570. Where we at, Niner fans? Because I got a cut from Shanahan and we're to play on the way back, and I want you to react to it, Shasky. That's coming up, brought to you by the all-new Honda of Vallejo.